that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporter with Tony Mann.
Brought to you by Rockland Federal Credit Union, Anderson McQuaid Architectural Molding, Sweetland Fat Loss, and Jordan's Furniture.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, here we go. Welcome into the Baseball Reporters here on 98.5 of Sports Up for the final time this week. It is Jim Murray in for Tony Maserati, who has been out on bereavement. Baseball Reporters is brought to you by Mohegan Sun. Unlimited possibilities await you at Mohegan Sun. Plan your stay at MoheganSun.com. All right, so three things I want to hit off right off the top here tonight. And the last one I'm going to need your help with at 617-779-0985. Again, 617-779-0985. So three things. First, the Red Sox, they've won 6 of 8. They're three games ahead of the Yankees in the American League East, 16 to play. They start up a weekend series in Tampa against the Rays tonight. And besides the fact that it's a Chris Sale start, here's the important thing you need to know in regard to tonight's game. Henry Ramirez is out of the lineup for the second straight game, and rightfully so, because he's essentially been absolutely useless to this team. And you have Dustin Pedroia in as the designated hitter, and it gets better. Not only is Hanley not playing tonight, it sounds like the Red Sox are just shutting him down with a phantom injury. At least that's how I read into this thing, looking at Scott Lauber and some of the beat guys. They say Hanley Ramirez had an MRI today on his left biceps. And at this point, the Red Sox do not have any timetable for how long Hanley is going to be out. And this is the right thing to do. Because if you've been paying attention to this team, and specifically Hanley Ramirez, he has been lost at the plate. He has been a nothing, and he's just getting worse. And if you look at his numbers since August 23rd, courtesy of Boston Sports Inf on Twitter, can't recommend his follow enough, Boston Sports Inf, in 71 at-bats since August 23rd, Hanley Ramirez hitting .169. He has struck out 23 times. He has 6 RBI and 3 home runs. So thankfully, mercifully, the Red Sox are shutting Hanley Ramirez down. How long? Who the hell knows? But it's obvious to me what that they have done here. What the Red Sox have done with Hanley Ramirez is they said to him, if you're not going to hit, you sit. Period. End of story. He's a zero in the field. He's a fool on the base paths. His only value to the Red Sox is what he can do with his bat. And right now, again, it's nothing. It's a zero. Hanley Ramirez is a zero in the Red Sox lineup. So if he doesn't hit, there's no point in playing him. So good job, Red Sox, in shutting Hanley Ramirez down. That's what this is. Again, who knows how long, but right now, they don't need him. They don't need him. He's a problem having him in the lineup and where to try to fit him in. If Dustin Pedroia can be used as your DH or Eduardo Nunez, he took BP today, said his knee is feeling pretty good. Maybe he's going to be back this weekend. There's things you can do. Play Sam Travis at first base. You don't need Hanley Ramirez right now. He's a nothing. So that's first. Second, the Red Sox get a slap on the wrist for the stupid Apple Watch stealing scandal. I'm going to read here from the New York Times. They say Major League Baseball announced this afternoon that they are fining the Red Sox an undisclosed amount that will be donated to hurricane relief efforts in Florida for their illicit use of electronic devices to decipher signs given by the Yankees catcher in a series last month. Investigators for MLB determined the Red Sox executed a scheme. Ooh, a scheme. To illicitly steal hand signals from the Yankees catchers. They say here, in assessing the significance of this violation, the investigation established three relevant points. Rob Manfred said in the statement, first, the violation in question occurred without the knowledge of ownership or front office personnel. Second, when the Red Sox learned of the Yankees' complaint, they immediately halted the conduct in question, then cooperated completely in the investigation. I have received absolute assurances from the Red Sox there will be no future violations of this type. Yeah, well, they got caught. Third, the investigation revealed the clubs have employed various strategies to decode signs that do not violate our rules. The Red Sox strategy violated our rules because of the use of an electronic device. And also, in the course of the investigation, the statement goes on to say the Yankees were found to have violated a rule pertaining to the use of a dugout phone during an earlier championship season prior to 2017. For that, the commissioner's office said they would fine the Yankees a lesser undisclosed amount, which in turn is also going to be donated by the office to hurricane relief efforts in Florida. I don't know how much the Red Sox fan generally cares about this story. If anything, you probably thought too much was made out of it. They were stupid. To me, all it really proved is that the Red Sox were lazy and stupid. It just proved that, once again, there is institutionalized stupidity with the Boston Red Sox. But I do kind of find it a little bit interesting, though, that is Rob Manfred, using his words, the violation in question occurred without the knowledge of ownership or front office personnel. So the manager didn't know? That's whether John knew or not, whether manager John knew or not, it was going to be a bad look. If he really didn't know, if they investigated this thing deeply and Dustin Pedroia was involved, I just feel like that just shows the discourse between that particular player and the manager. Again,
and that's the biggest negative out of all this, Jim Murray, is the manager didn't know.
Yeah, and this, I think it's, of the two, Jimmy, whether he knew or not, I always felt like not knowing was the worst look.
Because it is, because it proves that he has no communication with his players, none.
Right.
And that's so bad. That is horrible.
One of the main gripes about manager John, doesn't have the finger on the pulse of his team, doesn't maybe have the respect of some of the players in that clubhouse. Certainly does to Pedroia. You go back to what happened between the Orioles and this team and the Manny Machado incident back in May. Pedroia at the top of the dugout, pointing back. That's not them. That's not me. That's them pointing behind him to manager John and the rest of his teammates. That's right, opposing team. That's not me. That's them. Do you really think he respects manager John? And if he's
nope.
in on this, yeah, you're 100% right, Jimmy. If Pedroia was involved in this, as they, you know, as the report comes out with this Apple Watch sign stealing scheme, that Pedroia was one of the players involved. What it leads me to believe is, well, Pedroia looks at manager John and is like, well, Dunderhead over here doesn't really know how to run the team. Do we trust him to get runs across or really, you know, do anything correct? No. So we're gonna undertake this whole thing ourselves here. And we're going to, you know, try to get more runs across because we don't trust manager John. It's a bad look. John Farrell not being involved in this is actually the worst look. So that's two things. Lastly, it's this. Like I said, I need your help on this. It's 617-779-0985. It's my last night filling in here before Maz returns on Monday. What's your deal with this team right now? Because there is a distinct lack of buzz. And I've mentioned this a couple of times this week. I get it. You know, it's a feels like a lull in the schedule. It's kind of a holding pattern for the Red Sox right now. We know they're going to get to the playoffs. And some of these series right now, they aren't all that exciting. Can you really get all that pumped for the A's and the Rays again? I don't blame you. But overall, it does feel like there is a distinct lack of buzz. Why? What is it? 617-779-0985. Is it a lack of star power? Is it the David Ortiz thing where you're a casual fan? There's no big pop. You're like, bleh, I don't know. So I'm not going to tune in. Is it that you just don't believe in this team's chances because they let you down last postseason? That's where I'm at. Now, I'm still going to watch them. It's part of the job. But overall, if I was not working in sports radio, would I really be paying attention at this point? Probably not. I'd be waiting for the playoffs and say, eh, I don't know. What have you done for me lately? Because last year's team looked like a juggernaut, and then they get swept in three games by the Indians. So is it that? You just don't believe in them? Or is it more of a bigger baseball problem? And what, you know, the inherent problems with the game? The games are too long. There's too many games. So on and so forth. So you tell me. 617-779-0985.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters. 98.5. The Sports Hub. Radio.com.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The most important thing with that game, Hanley Ramirez out of the lineup, second straight night, and it sounds like the Red Sox are shutting him down as Hanley had an MRI on his left biceps. And I can't take that seriously. They're shutting him down. He's been a nothing at the plate, so that's a good move. No Hanley until further notice. The other thing is MLB fining the Red Sox an undisclosed amount for the sign-stealing nonsense with the Apple Watch. You want to weigh in on any of that, 617-779-0985. But the third thing I touched on is what I really want to hear from you about, is that why the distinct lack of buzz with this team, with you guys? Because it feels that way. It really does. Like, overall, is it a lack of star power or buzz overall with the team? Is that why there's, you know, apathy towards the Red Sox? Is it you just really don't believe in them come playoff time? Or is it the inherent problems with all things baseball? 617-779-0985, the phone number. We'll lead off tonight with Jerry in the truck, your first year on the Baseball Reporters. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, Jim. Just calling to wait. I think it's more, it's like almost like a corollary of people being involved in football. Like, I can tell you what the Pats need to do in a situational football, but I couldn't tell you that, like, the infield needs to be in at a certain time for the Sox. And, like, so how do you critique the team if they do something situationally?
Oh, and your phone crapped out. Sounds like the game might be a little too intricate for you there, Jerry. Yeah, that's how I'm taking it. Lucas in Norfolk, you're next here in the Baseball
Reporters.
Hi.
Doing good this week, by the way. Great calling in.
Oh, thanks.
You know, like you said, football started. I'm focusing on that. I'm a casual fan of baseball, and they're doing what they're supposed to do. They're kind of just la-di-da. I expect them to be first in the division, so, you know, they are. If there was a big story, they were having a ton of wins, or if they were losing, we'd be talking about it. But they're doing what they're supposed to do. So I'll let you guys talk about it.
Yeah, Lucas, I think this is, and so, you know, I want the game to be faster. I want the pitch clock in. I liked hearing this week that the pitch clock could be implemented or forced onto the players as soon as next year. Like, the game needs to be faster for me. Baseball has me anyway, but at this age, at 40 years old, even if I wasn't here and was part of the job, would I be tuning into 162 games a year? Hell no. I haven't done that since I was a kid or teenager, really. But all that being said, the main change I want, not just the game faster, they need to cut games. Like, that's the... The playoffs should start now, to me. Like, we should be into the, you know, the first round of the playoffs already. This is where we are schedule-wise. Like, I can understand the lull and just being like, all right, you know, can we get to the playoffs right now? Especially with the A's and Rays right now. I can understand that part of it. But there's something bigger here. There's just, you know, they're a good team. By and large, they've been fun to watch. They have some exciting young talent. To me, Mookie Betts, I mean, as long as he would maybe take that jump to a bigger leadership role, I mean, that's a star. They have, to me, star power. I can understand how they've lost some of the casual fans, what without David Ortiz anymore. But this, it just feels like, I don't know, you can almost feel the tumbleweeds going by sometimes when we're talking about the Red Sox. Sean in Manchester, your theory on this. You're next here on the Baseball Reporters. Hello, hey. Sean.
Hey, Jim. Thanks for taking my call. First time and fairly new listener.
Cool.
And, you know, I just think it's a couple things, but one, I mean, I'm a fairly consistent fan, not a hardcore fan. I don't get to watch a lot of games. I read about it, and I'll see it at the bar. But I just think the more I read, you know, I don't get a great sense that I'm confident they're going to do great in the playoffs because they've had weird moments of, you know, bad pitching or streaky things going on. And then on top of that, you know, even some of the players I really like Pedroia or Sale or even David Price before, you read weird stuff. They're not getting along in the clubhouse. There's weird stuff going on with the Apple Watch thing. I don't know. It's just a lot.
Well, Sean, and that's, you know, you bring up some of the stories. What have been the, you know, in terms of us that work in sports radio or even you guys just hanging out at a bar, like what have been the biggest talking points about the Red Sox this year? It's like, you know, stuff that's almost like scandalous type of stories. The stupid Apple Watch sign stealing scandal, the David Price, Dennis Eckersley story, going back to the what happened between this team and Manny Machado and the Orioles back in May. It's like any of the foolish decisions that manager John Farrell has made, like putting in Matt Barnes in the eighth on the road where you know he's going to blow up in Cleveland going back about a month ago. The juiciest stories are the bad stories. In terms of the baseball, it feels like it's just meh. And with what that last caller said, too, about this team needing to prove it, like, that's where I'm at. That's 100% where I am with this team. Last year, I expected them to go pretty damn far. And they get swept in the first round of three games by the Indians. The Indians. A good team, but still, that was...
Great team.
A complete no-show, Jimmy, though, on an every single aspect.
They dominated you. They destroyed you.
They really did. But the only player that kind of flashed was Andrew Benintendi, and he still made mistakes. But at the plate, he was like the only guy that showed up. Everybody else was a disaster. That includes David Ortiz. So I can understand that if you're maybe crossing your arms and saying, you know what, screw this. I'll tune in occasionally. I'll catch a Chris Sale start. But until the playoffs, you don't have me. And I completely understand that. Last year, that was embarrassing. So you want them to prove it to you. That I get. Evan in North Reading, what is your theory as to why there's a distinct lack of buzz with the Red Sox?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. Hey, you know, you just kind of took my point a little bit about Chris Sale, but, you know, I'd point at the media and the radio shows themselves. I mean, even on your updates here, you're like, oh, the Red Sox are playing the Rays, blah. Well, if I'm in my car getting ready to go home, say, yeah, I'm going to get a pizza, watch a little bit of Red Sox, and I'm kind of getting pumped up, and I hear you guys on the radio say, oh, gee, another boring start for the Red Sox. Instead, maybe say, you know, Sale's on the mound. Let's see him chase Pedro for a strikeout record. Should be good TV. I mean, I think your followers and your listeners are very influenced by what you guys say. I think there's not a whole lot of positive vibes coming from, you know, the people that we read and we listen to and we, you know, put our faith in. And it's just like, yeah, the Red Sox sucks. Don't worry about it. Watch something else tonight. So I think that has a lot to do with it. And secondly, the announcers that they've picked up on the TV are just god-awful. I mean, you can't even listen to them. They were talking about it the other night on one of the other shows. The variety of Red Sox, you know, personnel or ex-players who have jumped on the you know, on the broadcast, and they're just, you know, intolerable. I mean, Johnny Gomes, intolerable. You know, Mike Tillman, who wants to listen to those guys? They're just amateurs.
Yeah.
So from that point, that's why we really kind of don't dial in. But you got to say, hey, listen, Sale's pitching. Let's see him catch Pedro in the 9-7. Other than that, we're like, blah, just like you say.
Well, Evan, it's a fair criticism. You know, me personally, what can I say? I'm honest to a fault. I would feel like I would need a shower if I were to sit here and tell you, wow, Red Sox, Rays, catch it tonight. All right, it's a Chris Sale start. So, yeah, I'm into that. That's how I'll spend my night. But if this was, I don't know, a Rick Porcello start, you get against the Rays, I'm sorry. I can't be like, yeah, you got to see it. It's must-see television, everybody. And if you're going to miss it, DVR it. They couldn't be more disingenuous. The production values from Nesson, or who they're hiring in terms of the color man, you might be onto something there. Who they're trotting out there right now as Jerry Remy is battling cancer, and look, I mean, maybe their hands are tied, but I refuse to believe that. It's the Red Sox. They have a mountain of money, and that's putting it mildly. They could hire professionals. I don't need an in-market guy. I don't need a former Red Sox player. If it's not Eck, it's not Remy. The unfortunate thing is with some of these guys that they're trotting out there, I actually came around on Johnny Gomes. Johnny Gomes is such a spaz that it actually became entertaining to me. Everybody else, like the Jared Saltalamacchias of the world, like loved you when you're part of the team, Jared, but as a broadcaster, oh boy. And apparently John Valentin yesterday too, so, you know, it was during the Felger and Mass show, it was the matinee game, and really only got the synopsis of the game, and, you know, would look up occasionally during commercial breaks and catch it. I didn't hear John Valentin. But based on what I've heard from those that did watch the game yesterday, he's even worse than Jared Saltalamacchias. So maybe that's turning some of you guys off. You know, you tune in, you hear one of these guys like, I can't do this. I can't. And for that, I guess I wouldn't blame you. How about Sean in New York? Your theory as to why there's the distinct lack of buzz with the Red Sox.
Well, I think it's kind of a lack of personality. I mean, when's the last time, I mean, when this team maybe was struggling a couple months ago or whatever it was, have you ever seen, like, Mookie Betts yell or get pissed or, you know, step up, be a leader? I mean, he was an MVP candidate last year. I mean, someone like David Price is, I mean, yeah, I don't have to tell you about David Price. I know how you feel about him. But I think maybe besides Sale and Porcello and Pedroia, it doesn't feel, and Kimbrel, I guess, there doesn't feel like a lot of urgency in that they're, you know, they have personality and that they get mad. And if they're struggling, I mean, I don't mean like start throwing helmets and stuff, but I mean, this team in the past 15 years of that personality, whether it's Pedro, Manny, Ortiz, Papelbon, they had guys who had a lot of grit and a lot of heart. And I don't think they really have that right now with these guys. I think they're like a couple callers ago said, they're just going through the motions right now. It just feels like they're just waltzing along, and then when the playoffs come along, maybe they'll just choke again. Like you don't get that sense of urgency from them.
Well, Sean, you strike me as a guy that really doesn't like win, dance, repeat with the outfield. Then,
no, I like win, dance, repeat. Like, okay. I don't care. Dance all you want if you win, but I mean, I think it's more like, because when they're winning, they do the win, dance, repeat, obviously, and yeah. It's like, oh yeah, we're having a great time. Not when Mookie Betts has a bad night and they're struggling, he's not there like yelling like, come on guys, like let's get it going a little bit. We're supposed to be better than this. None of them do that.
Yeah, and Sean, it's a good point. I mean, with Mookie Betts, you've seen it when they've been down, he's hit go-ahead home runs or had a go-ahead hit where you've seen the emotion come out, and that's refreshing to see. But you are right. In times where, you know, they're down or it's a tough loss, yeah, you're not going to see, you know, the David Ortiz type of thing where you're smashing the phone. I just don't think that those guys are wired that way. Betts doesn't. Maybe Betts will get to that point. I would love to. I mean, he's the one guy I really want to see take the reins and become more of a leader. You ain't getting that out of Xander Bogaerts. Win, dance, repeat. By the way, I'm pretty jaded about most things. I like win, dance, repeat. I do. I can understand why people would hate it. I know sitting in with Felger and Maz, Felger loathes it. Win, dance, repeat. Eh.
Well, Jim, do you want to win championships or do you want to dance in the outfield?
Well, if they're winning, you know, they're getting there, Jimmy. The wins matter, and, you know, they're enjoying it. I like
it. Take it seriously. Do you want to win a championship, or do you just want to do some goofy dance?
I don't mind the win, dance, repeat. I don't. I can't. It doesn't bother me. They're winning. They're excited. Sometimes it's a little too choreographed.
Win in the playoffs.
A little too choreographed.
You win a championship, then you can dance in the playoffs with a case of beer on your head.
I don't mind it. And they're, you know, they're filming it. They're doing the old timey camera. It doesn't bother me. All right, continue to take your. Obviously, you hate it too, Jimmy.
Oh, it's horrible. Some stupid marketing play that was doctored up in, you know, Dr. Charles's office.
Here's what you guys can do. Dance. Dance for the people.
Dance for us.
We can sell t-shirts, too. Yes, dance. We'll continue to take your calls on this. Because, again, I'm legitimately interested as to why I feel like there's a distinct lack of buzz with this Red Sox team. They're going to the playoffs. Is it a lack of trust of what they're going to do in the playoffs? Because that, to me, like, that's the answer, at least for me. But what about you? 617-779-0985. We'll throw to our headline guy. Who's that? That's me. That's right. I'm also on headlines. We'll get you caught up here.
The baseball reporter's Tony Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub. Radio.com. Radio.com. This is the baseball reporter's.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
John Heyman of FanRag Sports, he's got to be apoplectic right now. They should have lost games. Rah! They should have taken away all the games against the Yankees. Rah! I'm going to yell at the cloud like an angry old man. Rah! I don't like that they play night games. Rah! Guys like that, like, get over it. But an undisclosed amount that's going to go to help those that have been affected by the hurricanes in Florida, like, hey, at least it's going to a good cause. But what's the undisclosed amount? 100 grand? 50 grand? The slap on the wristwatch. I look up here, and that's how they're referring to it on CSN, the show with Tangway. A slap on the wristwatch. I feel like a lot of you are over that story. I just wanted to mention it again in case you hadn't heard, because maybe you were expecting draft picks to be taken away. Maybe they were going to end up vacating wins. It's an undisclosed amount. And I think if it was something significant, you would have heard about it, because with the hacking scandal involving the St. Louis Cardinals in the Houston Astros, you immediately knew when that penalty came down, it was millions. Like, the number was put on it. This undisclosed amount, so that's what ends up happening.
$2 million, and I think the two draft picks went to the other team?
Yeah, that is correct. Yeah, it was $2 million. It was draft picks involved. I remember that it was $2 million. For this, all right, slap on the wristwatch. Okay, we move on. But more importantly, this is where I need help tonight. 617-779-0985, because this came up on Felger and Mass today. Like, what's with the distinct lack of buzz for this Red Sox team overall? Because now I feel it more than ever. Is it just the lull in the schedule? I can understand that. You're just waiting for the playoffs. Or is it more really where I'm at?
You just don't trust this team in the playoffs.
What have you done for me lately? Because I invested so much in you last year, Red Sox, and David Ortiz's last year.
And that's how you show up in the playoffs against the Indians? You get swept? Ugh.
So maybe that's what it is. You tell me. We'll go to Jack in, Doug in Rhode Island. You're next here on the Baseball Reporters. Hello, Doug.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, what's up?
Good. I just want to weigh in about this, lack of enthusiasm. There's been a lot of reasons for Red Sox fans to be kind of embarrassed through the course of this season. The Manny Machado thing, Dustin Pedroia kind of disowning his team or disavowing his own team, the Adam Jones incident, and then the immediate, you know, repercussion the next night of the fans throwing racial epithets around, the sign stealing thing. Like, there just haven't been a lot of reasons to be proud of the team this season. And then you combine that with the fact that there are two teams in the American League that just seem head and shoulders above every other team, being Houston and Cleveland right there. And, you know, even though the Yankees have a worse record, they're a more dynamic young team to watch with Judge and Sanchez and Severino. And there's just not a lot of reasons to get behind the Red Sox aside from them being the home team, unfortunately.
I like this, Doug, in terms of, you know, appreciate you weighing in here. I mean, a lot of it doesn't truly apply to me, but I can understand if, you know, they feel maybe there's some form of shame, I guess, that you wear on you as a Red Sox fan right now, or maybe envy. So I would buy into the theory of maybe there's envy if you look around at some of those other teams, like, say, the Yankees, and they have a bigger star or a star in the making in Aaron Judge, and be like, oh, man, why don't we have a thumper like that? Or maybe look at the Indians. So the Indians, that's a team, not only just with this 22-game winning streak. I'll admit, you know, you catch how that game ends last night. I look at that and I see that crowd. I'm like, oh, man, I'm kind of envious of that. I'd like to be there. That's kind of awesome what's going on with that. I love that winning streak for that team right now. And more importantly, I love Francisco Lindor. Like, that's a guy, like, and having that conversation going back, any of us. Oh, which shortstop would you like? How about Francisco Lindor between Xander Bogaerts? Please. Like, it's not even close. Lindor all day long. Jimmy, what do you think about that? Like, that there's maybe some shame involved in being a Red Sox fan right now, or maybe envy? Like,
I think it dates back to how this ownership group handled Terry Francona and Theo Epstein two of the most beloved leaders of an organization leading. If you look at their run in 2013, they were a good ball club, but as far as ratings go, people didn't pick up on it until Game 6 against the Tigers, and that's when people became invested.
Oh, no kidding, Russo. I wasn't here at the time. It was really? The ratings weren't all that good for that team that year?
No, they were okay, but they were not blowaways. They really peaked as far as television and radio, at least for us, when they got to the ALCS and people started believing.
Danny and Quincy, what's your theory on this?
So you're on to something, Jim, but I think this, the day-to-day 162 of this team, the only person to watch is Chris Sale. When Chris Sale pitches, you watch this team. But he only pitches once every 5 days.
Right.
The rest of them, it's a race to see can anybody hit 300. There's nobody that's going to have a spectacular season that night in, night out, you say, I want to watch that guy. They're all just having flat seasons. And to lead into the playoffs, you need a beast. In the playoffs, you need a guy that can carry the team, and that's the problem going into the playoffs. They're all 285, 15, 65 right now.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Maybe this is what we're uncovering here. It's so the lack of star power has something to do with it, or it's just down years. Because I'm a Mookie Betts fan, but if Mookie Betts needed to be involved for a trade for Giancarlo Stanton, I'm doing that tonight because I just think he's. I know he's going to drive it.
Yeah, but Murray, Giancarlo Stanton can't go first to third like Betts can.
Yeah, and I know he's going to drive in 100 runs this year, and it's actually been sort of maybe an underrated year for Betts considering what the expectations were, you know, coming off last year. I don't know. I just, the guy chases too many junk pitches. I would have liked to, at this point to see more of taking the reins of a leadership role. Like, I like Mookie Betts. I don't love him the way I do like Francisco Lindor for the Indians. I don't. So it's outside of a Sale start. I love a Sale start. If anything, I've been irked at the fact that Sale starts haven't been a bigger thing for this team. And maybe that's been a bigger problem with baseball. It just doesn't. We're never going to have the buzz we used to have with Pedro Martinez starts back in the late 90s and early aughts. I think there should be more for Chris Sale. But really, outside of Sale, like Danny just said, I don't know. There is just kind of a feeling with this team. Meh. How about you? All right, Jack and Bill Ricca. Sorry, I was going to go to you earlier. Jack, you're next here on the Baseball Reporters. Hello.
Hey, Jim. How you doing?
What's up?
Hey, you know, what is Brock Holt bringing to this lineup? I mean, one. I mean, that kid, young Kim, whatever his name is there, and even Marrero. I mean, both of them could hit better than him. He's not carrying a gold glove with him.
It's one of the questions that you can always have for John Farrell. I don't know why he will keep deferring to Brock Holt, one of his veterans, I guess. And that's maybe the easy answer. I don't get it. Two-way.
He can play everywhere, Jim. He can play everywhere. Yay!
It's infuriating at times. And especially as, you know, look, there was a time, there was only so much I was really going to get on Brock Holt. The guy's coming off of vertigo and a concussion type of issue, and, you know, who knows what he was really dealing with there. But he, too, at times has been a complete negative, both in the field and certainly in the lineup. The caller was mentioning Tsui Lin or even Devin Marrero, at least offensively. You know what you're going to get with Devin Marrero. Brock Holt? I don't get it either. We'll go to, longest order await, Nick and Mansfield. You're next here on the Baseball Reporters as we discuss why the lack of buzz around the Red Sox. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, first time caller, Murray. Really happy to get connected and stoked to talk to you right now.
Cool. Appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Now, a little dose of reality. So, you know, the hype in September, it honestly starts and ends with talk radio. You know, people listen to you guys every day. You know, when Sale's going for records and on the Hill mid-September, you guys got to get a little more, you know, upbeat about it. You know, you guys got to take some accountability around the buzz. Every time the Pats come back, you know, it's Debbie Downer Central, you know, you see the Cleveland team, and they're getting excited every single night. You know, all it takes is a couple wins here in mid-September, bringing us into the postseason, and that's all we need, and that's where the hype comes.
You see, the thing with the Cleveland's a bad comparison, though, because they have nothing else. They have literally nothing else right now until until LeBron and the Cavs are back. Until then, what do you think, people are pumped up for the Browns? And people, rightfully so around here, are pumped for the Patriots coming off yet another Super Bowl championship with high expectations, Brady at 40. They're what moves the needle right now. And that's one of the things that's ultimately going to be hurting, too. I mean, it has to be. We're now, you know, in week two of the NFL. That's the sexier story. It's the sexier sport. That's what That's what people are into. Still, I get it. You know, there's your hardcore seam heads that are going to be there for all 162. They can't wait for the playoffs, and they're, you know, getting into the minutia every single game, even if it's a series against the A's this past week. But overall, I'm sorry, it's not just that. There's still something there. Maybe it's the lack of star power. Maybe it's the expectations aren't all that high, and you're waiting for the playoffs. There's something. There's a distinct lack of buzz with this team. There is. We'll go to Dave in Bridgewater. Your thoughts on this. You're next here on the Baseball Reporters. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Mari. Great job. Just a couple of quick points on this topic. First off, as a sports talk radio guy in Boston, to express concern about scandal is, I don't know, it's a bit like robbing everyone who walks down your street and then expressing concern about property values going down because of the crime rate. Like, you guys nurture these scandals. You create them. And as fans here, we're certainly used to them. The Patriots have had a lot of quote-unquote scandals, and nobody's, you know, there's no lack of excitement surrounded what their potential is, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, it's if a story's juicy, of course, yeah, we're going to be all over it. This is what we do.
That's what you do. But the bigger point, though, is maybe the lack of buzz about the Sox is more just a commentary on the fragility of baseball in 2017. I mean, and especially in this town, we got the Patriots, we got what the Celtics are doing right now. Even the Bruins rebuild is more exciting. You know, it's just, it's the game that is kind of, as Felger says, it's kind of trying to die. And in the absence of maybe an 80-year championship drought or a larger-than-life guy like David Ortiz, I'm not sure people are going to be all that excited about the Red Sox.
All right, Dave. Appreciate the call.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Radio.com. Radio.com.